Okay, so we are going to discuss the sugya of Onis Rachmana Patre. It comes up in the daf this week on daf Chav Zayin and Aleph. I don't remember what day that was. Someday this week, earlier in the week.
It was Chav Zayin of Cheshvan.
Was it?
Yeah, the daf lined up last month.
So was it 4 days ago. Okay, so Chav Zayin and Aleph, the Gemara discusses the concept of Onis Rachmana Patre. How does that come up? So if you look at source one, we'll just read a small passage of the Gemara. Hahu gavra da'atvis sachvasa bevedina. There was a certain person who had a din Torah, and he wanted to. He had a claim on a certain amount of money, and he said to the Beis Din, "Va'amar ilo asina atlas in yomin liftalun hani zachvasoi. If I don't come back within 30 days, all of my zechuyos, all of my evidence to prove my case, should be null and void." Basically, he was giving himself a 30-day window to come back to Beis Din in order to win the Din Torah. And what happened? Isnis v'lo asa. And Onis happened, and he wasn't able to come. Amar Rav Huna, batal zachvase. So Rav Huna says he made a tanai, he made a condition that his ability to win the Din Torah is dependent on him coming back within 30 days. And lamaisa, he didn't. Granted, it was an Onis, it was something beyond his control, but he didn't come back. That's Rav Huna's opinion. Amale Rava, what are you talking about? Anasu. It's an ones. It was something that was beyond his control. The onus rachmana patre. And we know that the Torah exempts someone who does something or doesn't do something. Machmas ones. How do we know that? Dechsiv vilanara los asadavar. There's a parsha in the Torah called ones. If you have a girl who was forced to have a tashmish, and she was an ashes ish. So technically speaking, there was an avera of arayos here, ashes ish. But if she was forced, she was an ones, and she is not going to be put to death. She is not going to get the death penalty because ones rachmana patre vilanara lo sasa davar. So says Rava. So to hear that the reason he didn't come to the basin was because of an ones. So therefore, the fulfillment of the tanai of the condition was only because of an ones. We don't say that it's kilu he did it. So says the Gemara, V'chitema katala shayna. You'll tell me, maybe onis rachmana patre is only when it comes to onshin, right? Only when it comes to a person doesn't have avera, machmas onis, we're not going to give him misas based in, we're not going to give him malchus. It's a ptur onshin. But who says it has anything to do with any other area of halacha? Like over here, when it comes to kima tnai, the fulfillment of a condition, who says onis has any bearing on that? Says the Gemara, there's the Mishnah. V'hatnan nidrei onsin. I think on the next daf in Chavches. If a person makes a neder because of some external factor compelling him to make the neder, hidiru chaveru sheyochal etzlo v'chalahu o shechala b'no. Oh, she'ikvu nahar. If the condition was not fulfilled or fulfilled because of an ones, hari elu nidrei onsin. And we see that when it comes to the fulfillment of tanoim conditions, ones is a relevant factor. So if a person fulfills the tanai or doesn't fulfill the tanai because of an ones, they're not going to be held accountable. So it's not limited. It's not limited to onshin. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman makes the following observation from this Gemara. You see from this Gemara something very interesting. You could have said that what the Gemara was saying is that the pasuk of the Lenara Losasa Dover, which is the source for Onis Rachmana Patre, from this Gemara, is limited to Katala, is limited to a Ptur Onshin. Yet there's a separate concept when it comes to the fulfillment of a Tanai, that if a person is an Onis, it's not considered they fulfill the Tanai. But if you look at Rashi, in source number 2 in Ksubis, on Dav Gimel, the first sugya, or the second sugya in Maseches Ksubis, is the sugya of Tainus Onis Begitin. So there the Gemara is talking about all these similar cases of a person makes a Tanai, and he fulfills the Tanai, but it's only because of an Ones. Rashi says, look at the Lashon Rashi, Dimidarais Aloha Vigita, says Rashi, Shematzinu Tainus Onis Minat Torah, Shenemar V'lenara Losasa Dover. Rashi clearly learned the Gemara that the conclusion of the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim and Daf Chav Zayin is that we learn from the pasuk of Lanara Losasa Davar not only that if a person does an avera because of an ones, they're pater from the penalty, they're pater from the onesh, from the punishment. It's also a din in Kol HaTorah Kula that if a person does something because of an ones or doesn't do something before because of an ones, they're not going to be held accountable. It's not going to be as if they did it. So says Rav Elchanan, You see from this Gemara, l'chora, a raya to a famous yesod of the Chemda Shlomo. The Chemda Shlomo was Rav Shlomo Zalman Lifshitz. He was the Rav in Varsha in the early 1800s. It's a classic sefer in the yeshivas and learning the Chemda Shlomo. He has a lot of famous chakiras. So this is one of the famous chakiras of the Chemda Shlomo. When we say onus rachmana patre, is it a ptur onshin? Is it only that if a person does an avera because of an onus, they're not going to be punished? Or is it a hafkas hamaisa? Is it, well, very sounds very lomdish, hafkas hamaisa.
It happened,
but the maisa is not mesiachis to him. Oh. Right. It's not just that the person did it, but they're not going to be held accountable because they weren't negligent, they weren't intentional, there was an onus. Rather, it's as if they didn't do the act. If the act was done machmas ones, the person was compelled to do the act for whatever reason, some external factor was forcing them to do the aveira, it's as if they didn't do it. That's the Chemda Shlomo's Chakira. And Rav Elchanan says, this Gemara Nedarim, L'chora, is a raya that ones is not just a p'tor onshin, because the Gemara is willing to apply it outside of the realm of onshin. The Gemara is applying it even to the concept of a tanai. The person didn't come within 30 days, but it's only because of an ones. Says Rav Elchanan, you see from this Gemara, that the idea of an ones is that it's ki'ilu, you didn't do it, right? The fact that you didn't come because of an ones, it's not that you didn't come, it was the ones that happened. So we don't view it as a fulfillment of the tanai. And the Chemda Shlomo has a few gishmaka rayas to this idea, that onis rachmana pater, again, is not just a ptur onshin, that a person does an aveira, they're not going to be punished for it. Rather, it's ki'ilu, the act does not relate back to the person. The aveira does not relate back to the person. Everyone hear the two sides?
We learned this in the second part. There was an issue with the brother and the sister. Was that where it was? Okay, continue.
Okay, we'll discuss after. Okay, so if you look at, I'm sorry, the numbers were a little off, and then the sources are a little out of order. So if you actually look at source 5, it's the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. So the Chemda Shlomo brings this as a raya to his yesod, that the Maisa Aveira is not Misyaches to the person. Why? Because there's a halacha called Tikrovas Avodah Zarah. Tikrovas Avodah Zarah is that if a person worships Avodah Zarah with a certain object, let's say a person uses Yayin to do libations to Avodah Zarah, or a person prostrates to an animal worshipping it, that object has the status of Tikrovis Avodah Zarah, and it's Asr Bahana. So it says the Gemara in Source 5, Tana Nevad Shalo Asr V'Shal Chaveru Mutar. The Brisa says something vague. It says that if you have an animal that's been worshipped, if it belongs to you, it's Asr. If it belongs to your friend, it's Mutar. So asks the Gemara, Uraminhi, Ezu Nevad, Kolsha of the Moso, Ben Bishogig, Ben Bemezid. What is the case of Nevad, an animal that's worshipped? Any time that it's worshipped, whether it be Bishogig or Mezid, Ben Beonis, Ben Beratzon. So, Hai Ones Hechidami, what's the case that it was worshipped Beonis? Says the Gemara, Lav Kigon de Onis Behemas Chaver of Hishtachabela. Isn't the case of Onis that you worshipped your friends, you bowed down, you prostrated to your friend's behema, and now it became Asr? Says the Gemara, no. Amram Rechama lo kigon sha'ansu ovdikuchavim v'shtachava levehemto didei. The case of Ones, where the Brisa says that the behema has the status of Tikrovis, is if other people forced you to prostrate to your own behema, then the behema has the status of Tikrovis Avodah Zarah. Right? Someone came, forced you to bow down to the behema, now that behema becomes Tikrovis Avodah Zarah. Frag the Gemara, Maske Florab Zera, Ones Rachmana Patre, Dechse, Villanar, Losasa Davar. Rab Zera asks, how could it be that the behema becomes Asr Bahana when the prostration only took place because of an Ones? The person was forced to bow down to the behema. So how could it be that they put a gun to his head and said, bow down to the behema, and then he did it? How could it be then that the behema becomes Asr Bahana when it was because of Ones? We know, Villanar, Losasa Davar. So asks the Chemda Shlomo, I don't understand. Isn't Vilanar al-Sasadavar just a Ptur Onshin? The Avera was done, but the person's not going to be held accountable because they weren't negligent, they weren't intentional. But the Avera was done, so too here. And when the person was forced to bow down to the behemoth, they're not going to get skila for worshiping Avodah Zarah. But Lamaisa, there was an act of Avodah Zarah done here, so the behemoth should be Aser Bahana. So says the Chemda Shlomo, you see from here that Onis Rachmana Patre doesn't just mean a Pter Onshin, rather it's a Hafka'a Samaisa. It means that the Avera does not misyachis to the person. The person didn't do the Avera. And that's why the Gemara says, because of Onis Rachmana Patre, the behemoth is mutter and gansin. It's mutter completely. It's not, there was no Maisa Avera done here because Onis Rachmana Patre. It can't just be a Pter Onshin, because if it was just a Pter Onshin, if it was just an exemption from the punishment, then the behemoth should be Aser. Everyone hear that that raya? Yishmak. Okay. That's the Chemda Shlomo's raya. You don't hear it so much.
I hear. I'm trying to think of like... A dechia. Like in the case of the woman, she becomes pregnant. So like how do you reconcile that? Like there's knock-on ramifications that the act did happen.
You know? Uh-huh. Right.
So...
Right. So when it comes to her becoming pregnant, that's more of a metzias. It's not a halachic reality. Right. That's, you know, there's no undoing that. Here, it's... The chalos, the behemoth being usher is a function of whether a maisa avera was done.
Happened or not, right.
Exactly. So you see from here that by onus rachmana patri we view it as if the maisa avera was not done. Oh, that's the Chemda Shlomo's raya. So Rav Elchanan brings another gishmak raya. In the next source, the tshuva of the Rivash. The Rivash was one of the Rishonim in Spain. He was a Talmud of the Ran. The Rivash says, we know that there's a halacha that if a person does certain types of Isurim Daraisa, it becomes Pasul Edus. It's called the Psul Rasha. We're learning about these sugyas now in the morning, Kol Boker. We're almost up to that. If a person does an Aveira that warrants Malkus, let's say a person eats non-kosher food. So a person should get Malkus for eating the Vela, for eating non-kosher meat. So if a person does that, they're going to be called a Rasha, and they're Pasul Le'edus. They're no longer able to give testimony in court. Let's say a person eats meat, but there were no Eidim to give him Hasra, so he's not going to get Malkus. We know they need Eidim and Hasra in order to get Malkus, so there were no Eidim and Hasra there, but we know for sure that he ate meat. The halacha is that he still is Pasul Le'edus. He still is Pasul Le'edus. Says the Rivash, let's say a person does an Aveira Machmas Onis. Right? Let's say it's one of the big three, Yarag Val Yavor. So the halach is by Yarag Val Yavor, that a person is supposed to give their life by Gila Rai Shvichas Dal Min Avodah Zarah. But let's say a person violates, they're not able to withstand the pressure and they violate the Aveira. So the halach is that they're not going to get punished. They're not going to get punished because it was machmas onis. The Rambam quotes us the halacha. Maybe we'll discuss that in a little bit as well. So says the Rivash, if a person does the aveira machmas onis, they're not going to become pasul edus. They're not going to become pasul edus. Even though they did the aveira, they're not going to become pasul edus. Why? Ask Rav Elchanan, I don't understand. What's the difference? If a person does an aveira, he eats non-kosher meat. Even if he doesn't get punished, he becomes pasul edus. So over here, by Yehar Gval Yavor, if a person does Gile Arai Shvichas Dama Avodah Zara, granted he's not going to get punished because it was an Onis, but he still did the Avera. It should be no different than the case of a person eating non-kosher meat b'mezid. He doesn't get Malkus because there's no Edom and Asra. Why should it be then that when it comes to Gile Arai Shvichas Dama Avodah Zara, if a person does the Avera, but it was because of Onis, they're not going to get punished, why should the Rivash say that he's Kashal Edis? So says Rav Elchanan, you see from here again, a riot to the Chemda Shlomo. Because there's a tremendous difference between a person who does Navera without Hasra, and a person who does Navera without, because of an Onis. If a person does Navera without Hasra, the Maisa Avera was the same. We just can't give him Malkus because a condition to give Malkus, a condition to give an Onish, is Edim and Hasra. The Edim have to warn the person, don't do such and such Avera because you're going to be punished. But the Maisa Avera was the same regardless of whether there was Hasra or not. It's just a question of giving him the Onish. Says Rav Elchanan, but when it comes to doing an Avera Machmas Onis, if a person was forced to do the Avera, even when it comes to Gila Rai Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah, it's a Hafkas HaMaisa. It's not just a Ptor Onshin. It's a Hafkas HaMaisa. It's Ki'ilu. The Maisa Avera was lacking. And since that's the case, The Rivash says that the person is kasher le'edus. When a person does gila ra'ay shvichas am avodah zara because they're onis, it's not just that they're pater from onish. There is something lacking in the Maisa Aveira. Since there was something lacking in the Maisa Aveira, says the Rivash, they're kasher le'edus. So Rav Elchanan thinks that this is another support to the Chemda Shlomo, this idea that onis rachmana patre is not just a p'tur onshin, rather it's a hafka of the Maisa Aveira. The Maisa Aveira is not going to be misyachis to the person. And that's why the Rivash thinks that the person who does the Aveira, machmas onis, is going to be kasher le'edus. Even though he did the Aveira, because it's not going to be misyachis to him. I see some not such happy faces with the Raya.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to figure out. I might have said this before, but how is it onis if they have to give up their life for it?
Right, so they're mevatel the mitzvah of v'nigdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael or avas Hashem. They're mevatel some mitzvah, but sof kol sof they were forced to do the aveira. The gun was put to the head. The halacha is because of the mitzvah of v'nigdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael or because of the chomer of these three averos. That's a big discussion in Perek Ben Zohar Mora and different sugyas and psachim. Machlokas Rishonim, exactly why a person has to give up their life for those big three. But the point is, there's some mitzvah, there's some reason that they have to give their life for these three, but if they don't, it was an onay still. They were compelled to do it. They were forced to do it. They should have given up their life. But the reason they did the Aveira, there was the immediate cause of the Aveira was an onis, some external factor compelling them to do it. The non-Jew putting the gun to his head, saying, do gila ra'ay shvichas am avodah zara, was the immediate cause. Should the person have given their life? Yeah. But when they violated the Aveira, it was because of an onis. So says the Rambam and the Rivash, that the person is not going to get the death penalty for doing the Aveira, because, lamaisa, it was because of the onis. Now, says Rav Elchanan, you see from the Rivash, though, it's not just the p'tur onshin, the onis there, because if it was just a p'tur of the onish, the person should be pasul le'edus. Elamah, you see from this Rivash, like the Chemda Shlomo, like we saw from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and like our Gemara in Nedarim, that the Lenar Elos Asadavar, Onis Rachmana Patre, is not just a p'tor onshin, rather, it's a hafka asa maisa, it separates the person and the act done. Yeah? Okay. Now, what about, this is all by Mitzvahs Los Asay. What about Mitzvahs Asay? Onis by positive commandments. So, there is a well-known machlokas between the Drisha and the Taz. The halacha is, we know, that if a person, for whatever reason, couldn't daven, there's a concept of tashlumin, right? Person, you know, forgot, or onis happened, then they couldn't daven mincha, so they daven ma'ariv twice. Let's say a person was osik b'mitzvah. They were involved in some mitzvah. They work for Hatzalah, or they're a doctor, and that's what prevented them from davening. Now, when comes the next tefillah, should they daven two Shemona Esrei? This is a major machlokas between the Drisha and the Taz. So the Drisha thought that we know when it comes to a person who Rachman Litzlan has to bury a relative, they're pater from mitzvos. An onein, misha mesim utulafanov, a person is pater from mitzvos. So the halacha there is that there's no tashlumin. That even when comes the next tefillah, a person doesn't daven twice. So says the Drisha, so too when it comes to osik b'mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah. Just like over there, the person was involved in something and that was preventing them from davening, there's no din of tashlumin there. So too when it comes to osik b'mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah, a person's involved in some mitzvah. And that's what prevented them from davening another davening. They don't have to, there's no din tashlumin by the next tefillah. That's the chiddush of the Drisha. And the Taz says he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. There's a tremendous difference between the case of onein, when the person has to bury a relative, and osik b'mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. By onein, where the person has to bury a relative, there, the person is pater from tefillah. It's not the pshat that the person is obligated to daven, but you know, what are they supposed to do? Onis rachmana patre. the person is potter from davening, and if the person is potter from davening, there's no din tashlum in daven tushmon esrei is at the next tefillah. However, when it comes to osik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah, there, says the Taz, it's an ones. The person is chayiv to daven, the person is obligated to daven, it's just that there's something preventing him. What's that? Another mitzvah that he's doing. So you see from the Taz that when it comes to, right, everyone here, the machlokas
between the same thing with osik b'mitzvah. You say there's no mitzvah there.
So the machlokas between the drish and the taz is probably in terms of how to understand osik b'mitzvah patar min mitzvah. Is osik b'mitzvah patar min mitzvah an ones? The person is obligated to do another mitzvah, but they can't because they're involved in the mitzvah at hand. Or is it no? When I'm doing this mitzvah, when I'm doing mitzvah A, I am patar from mitzvah B. That's probably the machlokas between the drisha and the taz, and that's probably a machlokas we've shown him in the Masechta Sukkah, how to understand osik b'mitzvah patar min mitzvah. Be that as it may, you see from the taz that the idea of an ones when it comes to mitzvahs, if a person can't do a mitzvah because of an ones, something holding them back, be'etzem, they're chayev to do the mitzvah. The chiyuv is there, the latent obligation to do the mitzvah is there, just they're not going to be held accountable for doing the mitzvah. And we also see, it's not ki'ilu you did the mitzvah, right? We don't say, a person wanted to daven and something was holding them back, it's ki'ilu they davened. That, for sure, we don't see. Yeah? Everyone agrees to that. We don't say, the person wanted to daven, so it's... I don't know if the Jewish should disagree. Why would you think he disagrees with that point?
He says, you're not chayv and tashlimin.
But he compares it to the case of Avel. You're saying that it's ki'ilu you daven there?
I don't know. Why did he say you're not chayv and tashlimin?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right, it doesn't sound like it's because of it's ki'ilu you daven. It's because he thinks that you're potter. And the din of tashlumin is only when you're obligated to daven, but something happened, you forgot, and not when there was a formal tour. So you see from this Taz, like we just said, that ones is, it sounds like you're obligated, you're not going to be held accountable for not doing it, but it's not ki'ilu that you did it. So l'chor, this is a raya to a comment of the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma writes here in Parshas Bo, on the pasuk of Miyom Yom Yomima, about Tfilin, that the Mechilta says that we see from this drasha, from this pasuk, that a person has to be bodik their Tfilin once every 12 months, once a year. So why is that? Why is that? We assume that tefillin have a cheskas kashrus, right? There's such a thing as a cheskas kashrus. We assume that if a person, a thing, an object has a certain status, there's a concept of chazaka and halacha, that we assume there's a halachic status quo. We assume that, you know, the thing stays the same unless you have reason to believe otherwise. So why would Chazal say that a person is supposed to be bodik their tefillin once every 12 months? Not saying that this is la halacha, maybe we'll discuss the halacha l'maisa afterwards. But this is what the Mechilta says. So it explains the Meshech Chachma. There's a fundamental difference between averos and mitzvos. When it comes to averos, what the Torah is concerned about is whether the person, this is the Lashon, if it's like four lines down, he says, v'amarti, de'below sa'aseh ha'ikar hu ma'she'in adam oseh, vim osa machmas ones o ininacher hapotro, shuv hu kemo kol adam sha'asiyah eno nechshav la'asiyah. Vishuv lo asu kimo zulaso. So when it comes to los ases, the ikr is not doing it. Not doing the avera. That's what the Torah is mocking it. Don't do the avera. And if it was an ones that compelled you to do it, it's ki'ilu you didn't do it. Sounds similar to the Chen Shloma that we were explaining. Says the Meshech Chachma, lo kein b'mitzvah sase. This is not the case when it comes to positive commandments. Av shelo yas amachmas is ones. Even if a person doesn't do the mitzvah because of an ones, because something was holding him back from doing the mitzvah, mikol malkom lo mechshav kiman da'avid. We don't view it as if the person did the mitzvah. The sof lo asa. The Torah is makbid by mitzvos that a person should do the mitzvah. When it comes to mitzvah's essay, when it comes to positive commandments, the Torah is makbid that a person should do the mitzvah. And if a person didn't do it because he was held back because of an ones, we don't say it's as if he did it. He didn't do it. Maybe he's not going to be punished because it was an ones that was holding him back, but we're not going to treat it as if he did the mitzvah. As opposed to los ases, the Torah's concern, the focus of the Torah when it comes to los ases, negative commandments, is not doing the aveira. If a person did the Avera because of an Ones, it's Ki'ilu he didn't do it. So therefore, that's why there's a Ptur of Ones when it comes to Los Ases. But there's no din of Ones Kemanda Ovid when it comes to Mitzvah's Ese, because there, the focus of the Torah is that a person should actually do the Mitzvah. And if a person doesn't do the Mitzvah because of an Ones, they're not going to be held accountable in Shemayim. They're not going to, why didn't you do the Mitzvah? But it's not as if they did it. So says the Meshech Chachma, that's why the Mechilta is very makbid on checking the tefillin. Because, yeah, you can rely on the kashrus of the tefillin and maybe it won't be a problem with bracha levatala, but if the tefillin's not kosher, you didn't put on tefillin. You know, you may have not done anything wrong, and Shemayim, they're not going to punish you for not putting on tefillin, but you're not going to get the positive schar, you're not going to get the reward, you're not going to get the milos of putting on tefillin, if Lamaisa it wasn't kosher, even though it was because of an Ones. That is the Chiddush of the Meshech Chachma. Now, the problem is, there seems to be a Gemara in Meseches Kiddushin, it's also Gemara in Meseches Shabbos, that says, not that way. The Gemara says here, in Kiddushin Daf Mem, the last source, Machshava Tova Mitzarfa Lamaisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, not only do we get reward for our actions, we also get reward for good intentions. As opposed to the Gemara contrast with non-Jews. Shneemar, the Pasuk says, Az nidru yirei Hashem, ish al-re'eu. Those who fear Hashem will speak to each other. Ve'yakshev Hashem, Hashem will listen. Ve'yishma, ve'yichtov sefer zichron lefanov li'yirei Hashem, u'lachosh ve'shemo. So a sefer of merit, of memory and merit, will be written in front of Hashem for those who fear Him, and u'lachosh ve'shemo. So what does it mean, chosh ve'shemo, those who think of His name? Ma'il chosh ve'shemo, says the Gemara, Amar Vasi, afilu chashav adam lasos mitzvah, even if a person intends to do a mitzvah, v'ne'nas v'lo asa, and the person was held back because of an ones and didn't do the mitzvah because of the ones, says the Gemara, ma'al lavakasov ki'ilu asa. We treat it as if he did it. That's the lashon of the chosh ve'shemo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards those who have this machshava tova, that if they tried to do a mitzvah but were held back because of some ones, so then the halacha is that it's ki'ilu asa. So what's the problem?
It's against the Meshech Chachma.
Why?
Meshech Chachma says that good intentions don't help a mitzvah asa. You have to do the action.
Right, right. So many bring a raya from this Gemara, fakert from the Meshech Chachma, that the halacha is that if a person had tefillin and for whatever reason it was never checked, and then after 50 years of putting on the tefillin, they decided to check it, and they see that the tefillin was actually possible, they shouldn't be so bothered. They shouldn't be so bothered. Why? Because they were acting properly, because the tefillin had a cheskas kashrus. They assumed that it was kosher at the time that they purchased it, and it probably was kosher at the time that they purchased it. Something may have happened in between. And therefore, since the person intended to do the mitzvah was an ones, because the halacha is that you can rely on the cheskas kashrus of the tefillin, so ma'ala kasov kilu asa. You don't have to be so concerned. You don't hear it so much.
I hear, but at some point there's like a level of negligence, right? So like you're responsible at some point. That's how you can reconcile it to perhaps. Like maybe it's not 12 months, maybe it's every 5 years or whatever,
right.
Whatever it is.
Right. So the poskim do give different halach lamaisa. They do give different shiurim of, you know, some are very into checking tefillin, and they'll say, you know, once a year, once every 7 years, once every 7.5 years, different shiurim. But some say better not to check tefillin, because for one of two reasons. First of all, the simple read of the Gemara in Kiddushin is that there's a, you know, ma'al kasav kilu asa, and we know tefillin have a cheskas kashrus. So you should rely on the cheskas kashrus, because, you know, worst case scenario, they end up being puzzled. There is a cheskas kashrus, and you wanted to do the mitzvah. But more likely, the stronger reason not to check your tefillin, at least frequently, is because anytime you open up the tefillin, it's very likely, or I don't know, very likely, but it's possible, very possible, that the tefillin become puzzled while checking it, because it's the parchment is folded up very tight in there, and it gets pretty hard. So when you open it up, the letters may crack. So it's a very delicate process to open up the tefillin, to check the cloth, and to put it back in. So we shouldn't be so quick to check our tefillin, and we should rely on the cheskas kashrus as long as we can. The question is, at what point, like you're saying, at what point, you know, come on, we really should check. It's been a while. You know, my tefillin has been through through a lot, different climates, different flights and car rides. It's probably kedai to check the tefillin, or not, or maybe we should learn the Chaskas Kasha. There's different opinions in the postgame. But Lamaisa, this Gemara in Kiddushin seems to be a raya against the Mesh Chachma. The Ben Ish Chai has a tshuva in the Raf Po'alim where he says that another reason why he thinks that a person shouldn't be concerned if he finds out the tefillin are pasul, because there's a concept of aver lishma, and we're not going to get into the whole idea of aver lishma and its parameters, but there's a concept of aver lishma. If a person does a certain avera l'shem shamayim, maybe a person in certain scenarios can get reward for that. So this is no worse than an aver lishma, like yael, exactly. So this is no worse than aver lishma. A person doing the mitzvah lishma, they didn't do it, but it's no worse than an aver lishma. That's the opinion of the Rambam. So the question is, what does the Mesh Chacham do with Gemara Kiddushin? We'll leave it for that. Okay, shkayach, guys.